Some bits and pieces, and may there be a thread. Yeah, speaking of threads, so last night's talk, included some of the context of the Buddha's path to awakening and the four ennobling truths of the dukkhas. We can now call them the dukkhas. And the cause of dukkha, clinging, and that the ending is possible and the way to the ending. And somewhere before the retreat, somewhere between mind and paper, and then desktop computer, and then memory stick, and then laptop, somewhere in there, a thread was dropped that I'd like to pick up again. At the beginning of last night's talk, I gave part of the Buddha's definition of dukkha. And then I said, and I'll get to the rest of it after, and that fell away. So here's the first part. The Buddha said, birth is dukkha, aging is dukkha, death is dukkha, sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair are dukkha. Association with the unbeloved is dukkha. And now we're a little more familiar that that's dukkha-dukkha. That part of the definition is the first dukkha, the suffering of suffering, that part of this human condition, part of being in a sentient body, is that there's these pains that happen, and then what we add to it, the dukkha of dukkha. Then his definition continued. So it ended there with association with the unbeloved is dukkha, meaning what you don't want. That's what he's calling the unbeloved. Might include beings and things and sensations and thoughts and parts of ourselves that we don't like. And then the other side of that is separation from the loved is dukkha. That's that second one, viparinama dukkha, the pleasantness, the things we love, that we want, that we think we've got. I'm having a good meditation now, I've got it. Whatever, all these ways it shows up is also impermanent and conditioned. And so that's separation from what is loved. And not getting what is wanted is dukkha. Okay, and then the definition is still not finished. Then he adds at the end, in short, summing it all up, in short, the five clinging aggregates are dukkha. And that's a beautiful, amazing insight of the Buddha into what this conditioned beingness is, which is that third dukkha, the Sankhara dukkha that we talked about, that just part of being a sentient, awake, conscious, alive being that's impacted all the time through these six sense doors. If there's clinging, which there often is, this creates dukkha. So just wanted to fill that in, that all those three types that we talked about last night are there in that definition. Bhikkhu Bodhi, who is a wonderful monastic and scholar and Pali, hard to put words, prolific teacher, says this: "The search for a spiritual path is born out of suffering. It does not start with lights and ecstasy, but with the hard tacks of pain, disappointment, and confusion." We want lights and ecstasy, don't we? And we talked about this last night, how dukkha is a gateway for liberation, for awakening. And we heard that this was true for the Buddha. And was also my experience, and it might be what has brought you to the path as well. So I might share a little part of that experience that I had. Some of you have heard this before, and apologies for that. My first meditation retreat was a retreat with S.N. Goenka, a Goenka style Vipassana retreat. He isn't there. His recordings of his teachings are played. And the form of these that retreat is pretty intense. Some of you think this schedule is a little much. I can assure you, it is not. Much, much earlier morning. Many more sits, meditations, longer sits, and a pretty clear message to not move in the sits. This creates a type of anguish and pain that I hadn't experienced before. Around the fourth day of the retreat, there were already many reasons why I was annoyed, many. But the fourth day, pain, searing, burning. And yeah, and then it was already that way, just starting to sit down. And then it was an hour and a half sit after several sits already that day. And time. Time is such a special thing. It goes so slow when things are painful, right? Have you had that here on this retreat where you're like, ring the bell? I heard you. Yes, I heard you. Ring the bell. Time just crawls along. I remember in that sit, like, in my mind, there's of course no clock, and just thinking, I think that was maybe 5 minutes, okay, 15, and I'm like 15 minutes, and then just so slow. Oh, I think it's another 15 minutes, and then an hour. Oh, another half hour to go. So, I got myself like so wound up that when that bell rang, Oh man, have you felt that too, right? You're just sitting there chanting at me, ring the bell, and then, or you're like, burning, or so much pain, or so much restlessness, so much sleepiness. You're ready for a nap, you whatever, all the things, and it's painful, and then the bell rings, and you're like, oh, good, I feel fine.
Yeah.
The magic bell. I feel fine. You haven't even moved yet, but you're like, now I'm free. So that bell rang in that first retreat, and first the tears came, just a release. Yeah, and then I went, got up and went for a walk on the limited path you're allowed to walk. And oh my goodness, the mind just went because no normally when I'm, can you say pissed in a Dharma talk when you're upset, and there's so many ways to cope. There's so much chocolate, Netflix, friend to call and nah. They did this. All the ways, I won't list them all because that we really or go for a long run, play a game on the device, all the things to get rid of the intense feelings. There's none of that, of course. Silence and renunciation. And so there was nowhere to put the feelings, no one to dump it on, is what I mean. And, I couldn't even journal. And, so it just started to grind. Crank it, fuel it, pour some kerosene on there. Just, have you had any of this? We're just looping. And it just grew and grew. And then I eventually went into my room, and it would just look like a retreat room. But it was the depths of hell realms. I kid you not. The mind thought all the things, went all the places of revenge and just, I won't even. All the went all the way. For an anguishing long time until it could not go any further, went all the way. And say, even say, yeah. Like a spotlight in the darkest cave, or not popping a balloon, but just it was gone. Like, and the with it, with the going, was a thought arising, I created all that. I did that. They just said, sit down. And I created depths that all in here and in here. And that. So here I am. Dukkha and the ending of dukkha. Does it make sense? Do you get what I'm So the suffering was the gateway, you see? I had to face all of my mind, not owning it, but all of the anger and all those toxins. I had to turn to really, really, really in it for the insight to arise. Wow, I did that. So dukkha is a gateway to liberation, to the path anyways. And of course it does not need to be hell realms. May it not be so for you, but I know I'm pretty sure that all of us are here because of dukkha, because of some suffering, because there's pain in the heart, body, mind that knows something else is possible. So even though dukkha is a gateway to freedom, or as Bhikkhu Bodhi says, that this spiritual path is born out of this, not from the lights and ecstasy, we still spend maybe most of our lives or our usual day to day running in the opposite direction of facing, feeling, opening to dukkha. Remember last night we shared that I shared that Ajahn Chah said it this way: there are two kinds of suffering. There's the suffering you run away from, which follows you everywhere. And there is the suffering you face directly and so become free. Because of the form of that retreat, which I'm grateful to, I haven't been back, but I'm grateful. I would go back now, actually, but there was nowhere to run. The form, and here we're pretty nice. Elizabeth didn't greet you at the door the way Ajahn Chah. I hope you like suffering. A lot of care and yet it's still hard. So we are lovingly encouraging us to gently, compassionately turn towards and sit with and be curious about clinging. And this colonial, capitalist, consumerist culture also has us running from dukkha. When we're running from, we're chasing pleasure. Okay. They go hand in hand. Running from what's uncomfortable, unpleasant, painful, unsatisfactory, stressful, has us running towards what is pleasant. Consumption, comfort in false, impermanent sources of supposed happiness. So recalling what we talked about last night about the cause of dukkha is clinging, the second noble truth. Sense pleasures in and of themselves are not dukkha. It's the clinging that is the cause of dukkha. And this can be quite subtle. I didn't bring it. Where? Wonderful book on full called Full Simplicity. Thank you to my fellow Dharma teacher and friend for recommending this book on renunciation. It's in the room. But she, the author, gives a beautiful description of how subtle this can be. Could be as simple as we wouldn't even identify it as chasing a sense pleasure, but the thought might arise, say you're at home. I think I'll have a cup of tea. Nothing wrong with that. Have a cup of tea. So we make our way to the kitchen to make a cup of tea. And then we find out that maybe someone else we live with has used the last tea bag. Wait a minute. Now it's, see, it's just a cup of tea. There wasn't, you didn't think there was any cling in there. But if that's how subtle it can be. There was some attachment. There was some clinging to it, because now you're cranky. Right? Now we're irritated. It can be that subtle. So part of us knows that this trying to run away from really being with dukkha and chasing sense pleasures isn't working. And that part has shown up here. To sit down compassionately and meet ourselves in our humanity. Yeah, that's why we're here on some level. You may think, oh, I just came for a rest. Really? A rest from what? Okay. Yeah. Okay. So we're here. And it's that part of us that maybe wakes us up in the middle of the night with the feeling of, wait a minute. I got the thing, or I got rid of the thing, hashtag person, I and yet I'm still not happy. Or, yeah, I'm still dissatisfied. Or it might show up as, like, it's so cliche, I'm embarrassed to say it, but, like, I'll just say midlife crisis. That cries out, I worked so hard. I got the things. I built the life. And yet, what's missing? And deep bows to the younger ones that show up here, way ahead of me. So awesome. On the path. Okay, so if we're paying attention to that still small voice that's yelling at us, something's missing. If we pay attention to this, brings what's called samvega in Pali, which means spiritual urgency. Last night we ended with, I ended with, said, life and death are of supreme importance. Time passes quickly and opportunity is lost. That samvega is like, whoo, time is passing quickly and something's missing. Let me go and sit down and meet this. We all have Samvega. So now let's look at happiness. In one of the suttas and Gutta Nikaya, it says this. And the Buddha said, there are these two kinds of happiness. What two? Sensual happiness and the happiness of renunciation. These are the two kinds of happiness. Of these two kinds of happiness, the happiness of renunciation is foremost. The R word, renunciation. Yeah, so what comes up for you when you hear the word renunciation? In English dictionary and definition and synonyms, renunciation means in this language, some of them are resignation, surrender, rejection, self-denial. So we might not feel a friendly, yes, let's talk about renunciation. Because in this consumerist culture, it's not the thing. It's we work hard to get comfortable. And in the suttas, though, in the teachings, the Dharma, renunciation is referred to as the bliss of renunciation. So there's something here. The first ennobling truth is the truth of these dukkhas. The second ennobling truth is that there is a cause for dukkha, and the cause or origin of it is craving. That first kind of happiness that's mentioned here, sensual happiness. Remember that second dukkha, Viparinirvana dukkha, is like, yeah, things are good, pleasant, comfortable. Body's comfortable, not a lot of pain, there isn't a lot of mental or emotional pain, safe, fed, you know, things are pretty pleasant. And that's one kind of happiness. And this teachings are pointing us to the bliss of renunciation. It's like, what? This is so sweet, so subtle, but vast, clear, calm, peaceful happiness. The happiness that comes from letting go. And you can't try to let go. Trying to let go, some of us have been exploring this today. How can I let go of this? That's called pushing. It's the same as clinging. When we're trying to get rid of something, it's the same as clinging. Letting go arises from seeing clearly, from knowing what is being clung to, right? Turning towards, sitting down, being present, compassionate, still, curious, and seeing Where am I holding on to how I want everything to be, especially how I want everyone else to be, and pervasively how I want myself to be? The clinging is in here. So what's been your experience? What happens when you see when that's clinging is directly seen in the clear light of awareness? What's happened to it? Has anyone had any little glimpses of that today? Where we're just seeing like, oh yeah, I'm really holding on to that idea. Anybody had anything like that? No? Yeah? Do you feel okay to share it? Anything?
Well, sure. Yeah, it just had to do with that understanding of clinging on to one people to be a certain way,
yeah,
and a situation I need to be different, and sort of blaming other people in a way, but wanting what is happening not to be happening.
Yeah.
And then holding on to it, wishing it wouldn't have happened, but it's happening anyway.
Yeah. And then what happened with it when that was seen, that you could see there was clinging to that?
That sort of motivated me to go, all right, embrace the, and what was it called? Yeah, embrace the pain, face the grief.
Yeah.
Walk through it.
Mm.
And then walking through it, which I did on the walking meditation a little bit.
Yeah.
Something did shift, but I don't want to analyze it. I just.
No, no.
That's the.
Yeah. So something shifted.
Yeah, something,
something
shifted.
Something loosened or let
yeah.
go or had some space
maybe
with
I
it.
Could be different.
The relationship with it is
yes.
different.
Yes.
Yes. You're perfect. That's lovely. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah.
Got a very simple, maybe even silly one, but it worked. I had a cookie.
Yeah.
And I walked up and I saw there was a half cookie there. And I thought, I know we were told there's like one enough for one cookie, but there's about six left. It's late. I said, why am I fussing about this half cookie? Do I really need it? And I realized I was clinging to the sense pleasure of cookies.
Yeah.
And as soon as I recognized that, I just walked away from it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Did anybody take my cookie?
These are both so true and so helpful, like the big anguishes of life and the cookies.
Yeah.
Absolutely. They're just as liberating. They really are. Does anyone else have anything you want to share? Yeah. Mateo and then Carrie.
Well, that's what happened in the meeting room today. Well, this is about clinging, but there was a letting go.
Okay.
Okay, because of an understanding.
Yes.
So relates what you said about we have suffering. Okay.
Yep.
You give it care.
Yeah.
I was stuck with the fact that, well, if you're giving it loving care, it must be more than just suffering. And I couldn't. I wanted to attach something to it, but I didn't know what. And then somebody in the meeting shared a few things that brought an understanding for me. And somebody brought up the suffering that's going on
in
the Middle East.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that's dukkha. But the persons are the ones that are suffering.
Mm-hmm.
The suffering is not isolated.
Uh-huh.
And so when I realized that, I thought, oh, of course. This dukkha stuff is really about my inner child that is suffering, doesn't understand what's going on.
Yeah.
So as soon as I got it was a big relief.
You felt a sense of relief.
Yeah, I did. I felt that was one of my highlights of the retreat so far.
Sweet, thank you.
So to me, it's understanding.
Right.
Once I got that, the enlightenment.
Thank you.
Walking meditation today, and I just kept saying to myself, I don't want to do this, I don't want to be doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so frustrated, asking, frustrated that I was feeling frustrated and didn't want to feel that. I didn't want to realize having a burden to experience. And I just was like you're talking about getting in the depths of it, I just kept like getting hurt, like deeper and deeper down, like stop with this, stop. And then that would make it bigger.
Yeah.
Resist it. And then I just like had this sort of moment of like, oh, I'm actually just watching myself have this experience. It's like, and the next thought was, it's like I'm wearing a sweater that is, I don't want this, but I'm not the sweater. I'm just wearing this sweater that is colored in, I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
You just like have some space from identifying with it.
Oh.
And it just gave me this like that poof you were talking about. It was just like this few beautiful brief moments. Oh, this is not all of me. This is an experience I'm having. And there was freedom.
Yes.
In that.
Absolutely. The freedom from attaching to, like, this is happening to me. Yeah. Sweet. Beautiful, thank you. I have a few. Let's see. Which one? So many cookie stories. Let's see. This one was on a 3-month silent retreat. And on a retreat, there's an option to take what's called the 8 precepts. Here we've been practicing with 5. And you can choose to practice at that retreat with 8 precepts where you stop eating at noon. I was feeling right sorry for myself at this point, particular day, because in the evening meal, which I wasn't opting to not have, they brought out roasted eggplant dip, baba ganoush. We've had tons of it here. So great. I really like it. And slices of old cheddar, again, we've had it every day. This was like a whoa, cheddar, baba ganoush, whoa. And avocados, whole bunch of sliced avocados. I was like, I want all of that so much. And I was like, why did I do that? Why did I choose this? And I want the things. And so then I went outside, and there at this place, they have these wild looking big turkey vultures that hang around there because there's bushes with berries on them that they love. And they're really weird looking big critters. At first I was like, what is that? I didn't even know what it was. Anyways, turkey vultures are walking, then I'm watching them. They walk over to this bush that has these red berries on it. And these other 3 turkey vultures were already there munching on the berries. And on a similar bush, vulture number 2 sees number 1 heading over to greener pastures. And so he starts to follow. Whoa, wait a minute. He sees that one going for that bush. And he's like, why am I saying he? Pardon me. It starts following. And the way it walks, which is so absurd, and he's trying to catch up to the other one to get to the you know, better stuff over there. And I was just like, oh my God, that's me. Just these little things. They're so mundane, but they're just let go of, they just help you let go. I don't know, maybe there's one that's more not so mundane, but mundane is good. So many. Let's see if there's another one that's helpful. I think of craving. Oh yeah. Okay, well, what I was saying about, you know, we can't make ourselves let go, like you were just sharing, you know, stop it. It's from seeing the clinging that letting go happens. And so another one was about food at this 3-month retreat and really wanting this fresh baked bread. The smell was everywhere, and I had chosen to not have it. And so I was like, you know, this time I was like, okay, let's try something else. And so I sat in the dining hall and watched other folks having the bread, and that was nice. That was good. I was happy for them. It was mudita. I was like, look at that. That's so nice. And I did actually feel happy watching them enjoy it. But there was still a little clinging. And I was like, where is this clinging? Because it wasn't so much in the mind. And I was like, the body was pretty relaxed at that point. Where is this clinging? I was looking in the body, you know, because you know what clinging feels like, right? The clenching, the...
Would you say more about clinging, defining it more? Because I have an image of, but...
Wanting, holding on to, which can also be pushing away. So attachment. And so I was looking like, where is this attachment to... I was trying to feel the sensation of it in the body and like not noticeable. And then I felt like right here in this muscle, a little contraction. And it was right-handed. It was this muscle that was ready to get it. And as soon as that sensation was felt, it let go. Just like you're all sharing. It's just by meeting it and more, right? Efforts and whole path. But a lot of times, just by meeting it, where is this holding? Where is this attachment? What's it feel like? Oh, it's in that story that I'm grinding away at, or it's in the justification, they are, they always will be, I am, or it's in the, you know, the muscles. All right, how's the time? Look at me going on. All right, we're good. Be curious about, pay attention to in your own direct experience, what happens to the attachment when it's just known in the clear light of awareness. Is there a bit of compassion that can show up with it? Like, oh, sweetheart. Or a little bit of space around it? Like, okay. Or is there a complete letting go that happens? It just drops. Check it out for yourself. It's very important to pay attention to. The Buddha practiced with it this way. Practitioners, he says, before my self-awakening, when I was just an unawakened bodhisattva, somebody on the path practicing for awakening, the thought occurred to me, why don't I keep dividing my thinking into two sorts? So I made thinking is imbued with sensuality, imbued with ill will, and imbued with harmfulness as one sort of thinking. And then thinking that's imbued with, saturated with renunciation, thinking imbued with non-ill will, and thinking imbued with harmlessness as another grouping of thinking. And as I remained heedful, ardent, and resolute, thinking imbued with sensuality, ill will, harmfulness arose in me. And that's so nice. This also happened for the Buddha. This type of conditioning, thinking arose. And he discerned that thinking imbued with sensuality, ill will, harmfulness has arisen in me, and it's leading to my own affliction, or to the affliction of others, if I have a chance. That would be better. Or to the affliction of both. We're both going to suffer this one. And so he just paid attention. Hey, when these kind of thoughts are arising in me of getting what I want, getting rid of what I don't want, it causes a lot of affliction for myself and others. And it obstructs, he says, discernment, clear thinking, and promotes vexation, and does not lead to unbinding freedom. Then he says, as I noticed that it leads to my own affliction, it subsided. That's big. And as I noticed it leads to the affliction of others, it subsided. And as I noticed it leads to both affliction of myself and others, it subsided. Ajahn Chah said it this way: if you let go a little, you will have a little happiness. If you let go a lot, you will have a lot of happiness. If you let go completely, you will be free.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.